Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Patrick, and apparently we have lost our connection with Blog Talk Radio, our internet connection, so I'm here by telephone. We're going to try to get the connection back and then get back to you. We have a pre-recorded interview today with Melissa Sullivan, and I really want to play it for you. So hang on just a second, and we'll see what we can do here.
Our love, they say it's a crime. Now I'm walking the line. No one will tell me the truth. Just as I've wasted my youth, and I'll wait for you a thousand years.
Okay, we are back now. This is Music Scene Frontiers. We still haven't not been able to get the connection back with Block Talk Radio, and everything seems to be fine on our end. We've got green lights all across our panel, our control panel, so I'm not quite sure what the problem is. But anyway, we are going to go ahead. We're now on a cell phone backup, which is our backup to the backup. And we're going to introduce our guest for today, Melissa Sullivan. Now, fortunately, Melissa is not on the line because if she was, we couldn't hear her. We take this interview with Melissa last week, and so we could play it in order to help her launch her debut album. That's right, her debut album, Late at Night, comes out today. So let me tell you a little bit about her. It's not often, you know, that I get to talk with a triple threat, an artist who excels in three entertainment fields. Today we have Melissa Sullivan, who does just that. She's an actress, a songwriter, and a singer, and she stars in all three. Because this is a music show, we're going to focus on her new album, her debut album, Late Last Night, which is released today. But that doesn't mean we're not going to try and slip in a few questions here and there about her other talents. After all, who can resist a few theater questions of a woman who played Stella in The Streetcar Named Desire to rave reviews? So Melissa grew up in Air Force bases around the world. She brushed up against a lot of different cultures, and she learned to draw on them to portray characters on the stage and screen and to dive deep into them for lyrics and music, as she does in her album of jazz, rock, folk, and blues, with a little sprinkling of pop. And she also works with the Cracker Jack team, which frankly is a skill in itself, just to recruit and to work in the business. She will blow audiences away with her music, as she has in theater and TV. So here is our conversation with Melissa last week. This is Melissa Sullivan.
Melissa, welcome to Music Scene Frontiers. We're so happy to have you.
Hi, I'm really, really pleased to be here.
Well, congratulations on the release of Late at Night. I've been listening to it all week, and I predict many, many other people are going to be doing the same thing. It is a winner, especially for a debut album. It's not wobbly at all. It's really polished. So congratulations. Nice job.
Thank you. That means a lot. Yeah, debut album, your first album. It's a bit diverse with a little mix of genres, so that makes me really, really pleased that it sounds cohesive and that you like it.
Well, we're going to talk about that, but and I understand you have some connections to us here in Mexico, which we'll also get to later, but I want to talk about the album itself and how it came to be. after reading about your performance in Streetcar and watching the teaser video of Odyssey's production of Streetcar Named Desire, I have to ask, how did a woman with such powerful acting skills produce music that is equally powerful? Have you always sung and written songs?
Well, I think, you know, I'm an Air Force brat and I moved around a lot. So I was always, and I play the clarinet. And I think they go hand in hand. You know, when I first came to Los Angeles, people would say, what are you? Are you an actor or are you a musician or a singer? And there was, I felt like there was no room to be both. And now I think because of the world and the connections, because of technology, there's more freedom for artists. And there's also a different type of attitude. And maybe my attitude changed because I've always had melodies in my head. I always was singing to myself. I would sing myself walking to school or on the school bus. I'd climb trees and sing. And I always felt that I studied jazz with Perla Warren at American River Community College, and she was an incredible teacher. And I also played the clarinet and was in several orchestras and choirs along with drama. But I found that my singing was strong because I could act. And I feel like my acting is strong because I am musical. Whenever I would work on a piece, whenever I work on a play or a film, there's always music involved in my preparation, mental music and music that I listen to beforehand. It really helps. So they kind of go hand in hand for me.
Cool. Wow. Actually, we're seeing quite a few people come out of the acting world and move into singing. If you get a chance, once you can go to live music again, keep your eye open for Rob Lowe's blues band. He's really good, a fabulous guitarist, and he plays around Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
I have to ask, though, why this album at this time? I mean, you could have done straight jazz. You could have done just your own original songs. You could have given us a live album of your performances a lot easier. But instead, you took the time and the effort and you raised the money to craft a really highly polished, jazzy, bluesy musical production for yourself. Why did you go through that?
What a great question. Yes, I could have done straight jazz, but I've always said I wanted to write my own music to express myself. And what I thought when a painter who's never painted before puts a paintbrush in the paint and then they start to paint, they don't really, you know, you have an idea of what you're going to be painting, but you don't know until the end. Challenge myself, and then I had things to say. There's a lot of memories, past memories that I wanted to write about. There was an old man named Benny who's a shoeshine man that lived next door to me in Hollywood, and he would shine shoes on Hollywood Boulevard. He's probably one of the last shoeshine men, and he was also a songwriter too. And he used to say, "You're like 1,000 rubies in Technicolor light." And I used to drive him to the horse races, and then he would take me grocery shopping, and that was our relationship. And I wrote a song that was loosely based on him, and then I also used my imagination to create this relationship. So I needed to write. And then also working with Peter Adams, my piano player, who also arranged and helped produce the album. He was a really great partner who helped edit. You know, I would come with lyrics and melodies, and he would help me edit what I wrote. He really helped arrange the music, I think, beautifully. So, it's not straight jazz, even though I love and adore, all the great jazz artists.
And, of course, you have some of them on the album. But we should let our audience in on what all the excitement's about. And I want to play a song from the album. I want to play It's a Love. Here we go. Feels like jazz and blues has sort of been coursing through your veins all your life, which of course you just told us about. Is that the kind of thing that comes to you when you're sitting by yourself late at night, images like that?
Oh yeah. Jazz bars, empty roads, smoky rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you really create very vivid images, and smoky rooms and dark bars with mahogany walls is part of that. The percussion in that song is very interesting. It's almost Latin, but not quite. And it's not the usual jazz drum brushes. It's kind of a moving backdrop that flows with the modulations in your voice. It's really interesting because I listened to it many, many times. Now, I know you wrote the lyrics. What was your role in getting that really kind of intoxicating arrangement together?
Well, with Chris Steele on the drums and percussion, who's an incredible drummer. He plays with Otmar Liebert. And that the song is about desire and desiring something that you don't have. You know, the love, it's a love I'll never know. So the melody came pretty quickly, and I had a few more verses, and I just got with my band after Peter and I kind of finalized which verses that we would use, and we just all played together in a rehearsal room before I performed the day after, and they were like, "Oh no, this is a new song. We should wait." I'm like, "No, let's do it." And we just—it was more of like a—we jammed. It was like a jam session where I started playing. I started singing. We all played together, and we found it together. So it wasn't like, "Oh, you do this, you do that."
That's a cool story. I like that. I read someplace that. You said that you feel happiest even when you are singing the saddest song. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. I'm very happy in music. It's a great escape for me. And I guess that's why people love the blues so much, right?
Yeah.
It's something you relate to. And there's a freedom there when you listen to any kind of music.
But for
it
you, it's especially
you.
The blues.
I grew up listening to Glenn Campbell, Lambert Hendrickson Ross, Beethoven, all types of music.
Well, and obviously it worked. Let me remind our audience that we are talking with Melissa Sullivan. We taped this interview last week, so you can't call in. Sorry about that. But the album is out today. So go to her Spotify site, go to her Facebook page, all the usual platforms where you get music, get a copy. And if you can, tell her how much you love it, because you're really going to love it. Melissa, I mentioned Mexico earlier, and I understand that you played in Mexico to help, actually to help support a dog rescue organization. Thank you.
Yes.
But you have another connection that I know of.
The Foundation.
Well, we'll talk about
that. What's the other
connection? Borders and Fronteras.
Yeah.
Let's play a little of Borders and Fronteras. I believe that that is Elido de la Isla of Los Romeros singing with you, isn't it?
Right.
How did an L.A.-based jazz and blues singing actress get a top Mexican pop and reggae artist not only on her record, but singing softly and seductively?
Well, isn't Lito amazing? I was his younger brother's teacher at New York Film Academy, Esteban de la Isla.
Oh.
And my first gig in Los Angeles was at Room 5. And the week before, I sought this place out. I got the gig, and I wanted to see what the room was like. So I was going to go a week before.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke with Esteban. He said, my brother is playing that night. So I went and I saw Rumberos at Room 5, fell in love with the music. He was amazing. And then I just thought, I want to perform with him. I want to sing with him someday.
Oh, my
and
God.
Then there was...
I was there.
Young... You, what?
I
you
was there. Yes. It's all coming back now. And the place was packed, too, if I recall. Oh, my
it
God.
It was packed. And did you dance? I was dancing.
No, I wasn't dancing. I was at a table up front, though. I'll be darn. I actually came with somebody else. But wow. So I have actually seen you play live.
I wasn't playing. Yeah, I played the week after. I just wanted to see what the room was like.
All right.
Before I played the next week.
I was there that night. I'll be darned. Oh. Small world in music. Okay.
It is a small world.
So that's how
amazing.
That connection was made. There's another Mexico connection, which we just mentioned, and that was a concert for dog rescue. Now, I think one of your inspirations is for your dog, Zelda. But how did the connections get made for you to gift us with your live music here in Mexico and for such a great cause?
Well, actually, you know, I do have a dog named Zelda, but I also have a dog, Margarita, Margie, and she's from Alamos that we rescued from Alamos. And Kelly Potter, who started the ADF Alamos Dog Foundation, is just an incredible woman and has had this foundation for a few years now, staying dogs, giving them health care, and really trying to change the health and welfare of the animals in Alamos, which is really beautiful. Alamos is a great town. It's just gorgeous, and I sang at Le Bleu, Terry Arnold's jazz club there, and for the opening. And I feel really fortunate. It was a week right before the quarantine hit, so I feel very, very happy to have been able to sing at that beautiful place, and then also to sing for ADL.
Well, I'm glad you did, and I hope you get a chance to come back and sing in Mexico at some point. I'm in a town called Ajijic, which is about an hour outside of Guadalajara, and both Ajijic and Chapala Municipality, which is our county, and Guadalajara are big jazz places. So if you ever get a Mexican tour, let me know.
By all means, yes.
Okay, because I know all the jazz places and all the jazz bands, too. Well, I'm watching the clock.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's time for me to play some more music. I'm tempted to play Marcella with all the dogs barking in the background. But I want to play my favorite song in the album, which I believe is also an original. So here is He's Bad.
I'm taking off my makeup. He's bad and I'm so sad. He said I can't get it straight. I'm home and he's still out late. I thought we'd kiss and make up. I think it's time to wake up.
Sounds like you're singing about Kowalski there. Is there a particular man who deserved those lyrics?
You know, actually, this one song, I wrote all the music. I had a really just it came to me pretty quickly, and I wanted the song to be about a man that's been very bad. And this is the one song where I did not write the lyrics. My friend, composer and bass player, Rich Kratt, he wrote the lyrics. And I said, just write these lyrics, Rich, and it should be about somebody that's been really bad. And so that's it. So it's not about one person, but it's more about a universal experience that
okay.
I think a lot of people can relate to.
Yes, unfortunately, a lot of people can. And that song, and actually all the songs in the album, hits a lot of emotional button right on target. Were you always able to so precisely modulate the emotional content of your voice? Because it's really remarkable. Or is it your theater training that gave you that ability?
No, I think it was my training with Perla Warren and listening to jazz records when I was young. You know, when people were listening to Led Zeppelin, I was listening to Lambert Hendricks and Ross, and I learned about pitch through Ella Fitzgerald. I learned about rhythm and instrumentation from Anita O'Day and Louis Armstrong and all of these incredible singers I would listen to. And then I would also listen to Kate Bush. I had a cassette that I would listen to incessantly. I listened to it so much that it broke. But I learned I would turn off the lights and I would listen to the music, and that's how I learned. But I'm also an emotional person too, so I think it just comes through. My emotions come through because I'm emotional.
Well, it does. They do come through, and you manage to modulate your voice, hit the right keys with the right words at the right time. So, which is a high degree of musical skill. Not everybody can do that. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about theater and music. I know we've kind of talked around it and et cetera. And I was reading your reviews, and Lee Kennicott in Show Mag said that your performance at Stella at the Odyssey was, quote, down to earth, which is a very good description of blues songs like He's Bad. So what are there specific stories you can tell about how you drew from theater to enhance your music, or is that too specific for an art form?
No, well, I'm a lifetime member of the Actors Studio, and perhaps some of the training that I've had with the Strasberg method, with sensory and affective memory, all of that, I think, helps. You know, that training for an actor to be able to consistently bring emotional, powerful performances every day. Let's say if you were on Broadway and you had 8 performances and you had to cry, you know, at the end of Streetcar, so she wails and sobs like an animal, you know, and so every night I would have to get to that spot and that place, and that. For me, what is helpful is sensory exercises, memory exercises. And so I think probably that's why maybe the music that I write is about memory, and maybe that helps my performance. I'm actually don't really know. I'm not sure.
Well, I think it does, obviously. Right. You know, you mentioned earlier, because I want to stay kind of in the visual art area, that you've got a video coming out, and also there's saw a picture of you talking about a upcoming video with you and Bare Feet on a Shipwreck. So what have you got coming out in terms of video?
Well, I have coming out, it's a lyric video of the Borders, the Fronteras. And it's beautiful. It's going to be, I'm really, really excited about it. Gabriele Fabro, he's directing it. And Serena Vigano, she's the illustrator. I think it's going to be really cool. And that should be out. We're trying to get it out on the 26th, but it may be probably by the 3rd of July it will be out. And then Gabriele, he also directed Skylark, and that is one take, and it's near an old shipwreck near the ocean. It took an hour for us to hike down this really steep mountain, and I was barefoot, and all of my marks, so it was just one take, all of my marks were rocks. So I had to remember which rock to hop on. And my feet were sore for a good month after, but it was a lot of, and then we had to hike all the way back up. It was a real adventure.
Cool. I'm very much looking forward to it. a video about a bilingual song in Spanish sung by an American, directed by an Italian. So it should be very, very good. right. Well,
it is about borders, right? So,
right.
And how borders keep us, you know, emotional borders, physical borders, how they stop life and love, you know, from happening.
And that's why this program is called Sin Fronteras, Without Borders.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are a lot of things we could talk about. We could talk about the blue puppet and about cupcakes and a whole bunch of other stuff, I'm sure. But we're out of time. So, and I want to give my listeners plenty of time to go buy the album, which is out today. Congratulations again. Where should people go to hear the album? And even better, where should people go to buy the album?
Okay, so you can hear the album on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. You can get it on Amazon. And you can buy the CD at my website, melissa-sullivan.com. And you can get the CD there. And there'll also be some T-shirts that I'm creating and some artwork from the music video.
Wow, I'm looking forward to that, too. Well, we will be waiting for all of that. And in the meantime, thank you so much for giving us your time today. And thank you so much for all the wonderful music that you give us.
Well, it was a lot of fun. And you know what? I will see you in Mexico, hopefully sooner than later.
Me too. Melissa Sullivan, her debut album, Late at Night, launched today. Streaming on Spotify, Apple Music, get it at any of the platforms, or go to her website, and you can buy a copy from there. It's always better to buy your own copy because you never know when you can't reach a stream. But that's Melissa Sullivan. The album is Late at Night.